رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Bir regular in istihacud reciting the Quran Sharif. And there was an interval where Nabi Sam didn't receive wahi. So someone from the neighborhood, they began to taunt, the one that was prompting you has left you. So the surah was revealed, وَالْضُحَىٰ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَىٰ مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَىٰ. Duha is like around chas time. Chas is about 9 o'clock or so. So by then the sun is well lit, bright. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَىٰ, and the night when it has covered and settled. So one is the beginning of the day, has brightened up, and one the darkness has settled. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَىٰ. Your Rabb has neither left you nor is he displeased with you. So I asked the students, what's the rabt? There must be a connection. وَالْضُحَىٰ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَىٰ مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَىٰ. That your Rabb has neither forsaken you nor is he displeased with you. So they couldn't find any proper answer. They said, it's so clear, why can't you think a little bit? So this lighting of the day, the brightening of the day, and the darkness of the night is a natural phenomenon. And this brightening and the darkening, neither is the brightness a sign of Allah's happiness, nor is the darkness a sign that Allah is displeased. Naturally it has to happen. Overall, the brightness is لِتَبْتَهُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, that you carry out all your activity. So imagine if it was night all the day, all the time, right? Could you conduct all your activities? It would be quite difficult, very difficult. So the barber is doing his work, the carpenter is doing work, the builder is doing work, everybody is doing the work. The blessings of the brightness of the day. And the darkness of the night is not an indication that Allah Ta'ala is displeased. Rather, لِتَسْكُنُوا فِي, that you may calm off and that you may take a nice rest. So imagine if it was day all the time, right? Then would you be able to have a proper rest? Because the carpenter is doing his hammering, and someone is doing welding, and the noise is going there. Someone is laying bricks, and the noise is going on there. So there's noise all over. Motor cars are running. Craftsmen and people who skilled, they're doing their work. So could you enjoy a nice night's sleep? So Allah has made it such that it's calm all over, right through. The career man, he's also resting. The professional person is also resting. And the whole world has come to a stir. This darkness pervading right through. So you enjoy a night, nice night's rest, enabling you to gain the strength and the energy to start off the next day. لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ وَلِتَبْتَهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. The planning of Allah Ta'ala, sun Allah الَّذِي, the workmanship of Allah Ta'ala, is accurate, absolutely accurate. So like this, night and day is a natural phenomena. It's not indicative that Allah Ta'ala is displeased or Allah Ta'ala is happy with you, no. Same is the intermission, the interval of wahi. Sometimes the wahi has come and for some period the wahi has relapsed. Right? So it's not an indication that Allah Ta'ala is displeased. So there may be a lot of wisdom in the interval. In the relapse there must be some wisdom. So the simple thing is that the wahi was a very weighty thing. It was so weighty. Now imagine a camel, an average camel can take a load of approximately 350 kgs. Average camel, right? When the wahi has come down, that thing also sits down, can't move. Can't move its neck, can't move its body. You know, Rasulullah is reclining against someone, and that person feels that my whole body is crushed. And beads of perspiration are rolling down his Mubarak forehead to his cheeks like pearls, right? On a cold, icy winter morning. So now, this was the burden of the wahi. Sanulqi alayka qawlan saqila. And it's the first encounter. So Nabi Sallam has to come and become familiar with this. So in the whole exercise, there's an interval so Nabi Sallam can relax. The body has got a certain capacity. If you understand the capacity, the aptitude of the body, you can't overwork it. For that matter, everything, a motor car is designed, for example, to take, say, 400 kilos, right? Big car is meant to carry 400 kilos. And you're going to load it with 2 tons, what will happen? You're supposed to die tomorrow, it will die today, right? Finished. Unfinished. So, man has got a certain capacity, a certain aptitude, he has to work with that. And this is not an indication that Allah Pak is pleased or displeased. This is a natural process, this is how it works. So Rasulullah is given that comfort, right? So in all this, we need to understand that Allah Ta'ala is the one that رَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ قَسَّمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala has divided and distributed. For someone is given more and some is given less. And all the bounties, one single person doesn't enjoy all the bounties. If someone is enjoying good health, then the next person is enjoying good money. If someone is enjoying a lot of food, then someone is enjoying a relaxed life, right? So all these favors are distributed. You very seldom will find that you got everything in this life. The world is not designed for that. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. Created mankind with difficulty. So these favors and these bounties have been divinely distributed, right? نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مُعِيشَتَهُمْ. Even their livelihood, we have distributed. Someone has given more, someone less. Sometimes it happens that he is given more wealth, right? But he doesn't have that level of enjoyment, fulfillment that a poor man enjoys. He is so satisfied with his work, whistling and running away, playing soccer, having a bath, going home. No fikr in the world. Man has got the money, say, tomorrow I need to get this work done. Let's hope all my workers come on time. And if one person now, if he lets me down, what's going to happen? The whole night is making figure, is phoning the person, don't let me down, at this time I need you. Very important work. So he's sleeping with no figure, right? And hardly any wealth. He doesn't have a decent freezer. Whatever he's got, he must just do with it. And he's got so much, right? His freezer actually is spilling out and he has to make mashwara and istikhara what is to be prepared for the next day. Can you see that? But then all these favors are distributed. If you've got wealth, it doesn't mean that you've got happiness. If you've got happiness, it doesn't mean you've got wealth. So all distributed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You got strength, it doesn't mean you got money. You got health, it doesn't mean you got beauty. So everything is distributed. If you got beauty, it doesn't mean you got strength. If you got strength, it doesn't mean you are intelligent. So all these bounties Allah Pak has distributed. But in this divine plan, what are you supposed to be doing? That's the burning question. So the plan of Allah Ta'ala, right? Nobody gets his heart's content in this life. That's for the next life. See, the secularism want to impress upon you that you got all these things here, that you're living happy, happily ever after. How can you live happily? Can you? When you know that you're going to terminate and the world is going to terminate. So can you be happy? No matter what pleasure you're going through, the person is enjoying himself. Tell a real story, right? Disneyland, America, enjoying himself. Enjoying, you know, the heat of the enjoyment, going in a submarine, kill the fish, whatever else. And just then he gets a phone, mother passed away. So can you get your heart's content in this life? Can't you? So you're deceiving yourself into thinking that I'll get all these things here and I'll get my heart's content. Doesn't happen. So that has been destined for the next life. So when you understood the plan of Allah Ta'ala, now understand what's your portfolio. Tumhari kya zimmedari? It's all administration of Allah Ta'ala. What's your work? What are you supposed to be doing? If you know that, then you are right, right. And if you don't know that, then you are in a state of anxiety, misery and worry. He's got a Ferrari and I don't have a proper bicycle also. Or I have a bicycle and he's got a scooter. So you're going to be in that constant chakkar, that circle. He's got this and I don't have this. I must get this. Sometimes it is that worry and concern, and then when that worry and concern escalates, then it comes to the point of jealousy. Why is God this? Why don't I have it? So somehow or the other, you try and run him down. But he's got this and I don't have it. So you run him down. So it stems from jealousy. From jealousy it progresses to running the person, despising him, and somehow disgracing him. You feel happy now that I put the person down, he was flying too high. But you don't know that you're bringing more misery to yourself. One is because of the sin, and when you're engaging in this, then engagement of this, you don't have the calmness of the heart, you don't have the serenity of the mind. You're waiting for the day for him to collapse. And if he's had an accident or a collapse, then you're celebrating. Aren't these traits of munafiqeen and kufar? What's he doing in the life of a Muslim? A Muslim is such that I'm celebrating with your happiness. What is something? MashaAllah. Very good. MashaAllah. You got this. Allah Pak give him tawfiq to come regularly to the masjid also. He's given a strong financial muscle. So Allah Pak give him strength in the deen as well. So you're wishing well for the person all the time. Now that person's mind is serene, is calm, comfortable, and in a state of happiness. Why, I'm happy for you, so I'll be happy. But if I am paining because of you, then I'm painful. I'm bringing misery upon myself, not onto you. One is now, he's got more, that's a pain. And one is now, the burn that is going, that is an additional pain. See that? So what's your plan? What's you are supposed to be doing? That is what we're supposed to be learning. These things don't happen. What's going to happen? It's going to happen. Right? But what's my role in this whole exercise? What is my role? Our habit now is we follow the media, WhatsApp. That became the Quran Sharif. And the Quran Sharif is just by the way. If it is tilawat, then just tilawat, and that's it. But to know exactly what is the message of Allah Ta'ala by from someone that knows the Quran Sharif well, not just any person, just speaking about translation, reading, no. Someone that's well versed, understands it very well, has been with the Quran Sharif, now try and get the correct understanding. My Rabb is talking to me. A passage of love, and He's speaking to me. And I don't take the time to contemplate, to ponder over the message Allah Pak is passing on to me. Imagine you are 19, 20 years of age, right? And you were just about to engage, propose, right? And unfortunately, you were writing love letters, right? So, you just got the letter, it was Namaz time, Juma time. So you put it in your pocket. Right? The little boy picked it up and put it in his pocket. Right? But I ask you, in that entire duration, where your eyes will be? You're under duress, you have to be behind the imam, right? You can't get out. But the whole time, your mind is there. Right? Then, as you open the letter A, where the hands must have touched, you know, and the lines now, A, put it here, put it here, put it here. Kya nahi karenge? And then, why did she use this word in place of that word? And there was a heart also. Now, heart is beating, is racing. Now, do you ever do that with the word of Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala is starting off, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, most gracious, most merciful. Do you ever come across His words and say, Allah kya kahun? Teri pyar ka kya kahun? Do you ever think like that? So it's a love message of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is talking to you and He wants you to talk to Him. You must talk to Him. So that Quran Sharif is no more your book, no more your reference. But the anxiety is, what's happening? What's happening? Anxiety. What's the latest? And the news also keeps you on the edge. They won't release everything, create something, and then tomorrow again say, breaking news. Waiting for the next news. Next bulletin. What the radio is saying. If our anxiety was with the Quran, what is my Rabb saying? I read this now. And what is the next message of Allah Ta'ala? You can read it, say it to our family, our children. Do we take out the time to do this thing? Do we take out the time? The words of Allah Ta'ala, the word of His Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sahaba Kiram say that when Rasul Pak Sallallahu when we are in His presence, Kanna ala ru'usina tayr, we're so anxious to hear from Muslims that as though, you know, there's a bird on the head, you know. The mad person is motionless at the time that he doesn't want that bird to fly away. So that was the state of their focus. Now just in the masjid and outside the masjid, was the leaders in Iran? What happened here? And then we, whatever we see there, we are just swallowing it up. This is the truth. And then it builds up an anxiety. Wow, but you're stockpiling. You know, times are bad. You must stockpile. So every person is in a panic mood. But now, what was your Quran? The Quran became the news. The Quran became the smartphone. The Quran became the WhatsApp. That became the Quran. But how a Muslim is supposed to be thinking and conducting himself? That nobody thought, and nobody is thinking correctly, because everybody is speculating. Based on what he reads and what he hears, he's speculating. Both sides is your enemy. This one is your enemy, that one is also your enemy. Right? If this person is wiping out, right, Iran, or he's wiping out the Gaza, then the other person wiped out Sham. If this person wiped out, say, 100,000 in Palestine, right, Palestine, then this person wiped out 580,000 in Syria. Can you see that? 580,000 in Syria, fully supporting Bashar Assad, fully supported. pulls about 580,000, and absolutely no remorse. It's a pride for them to take away the life of a Sunni Muslim. So, can you say now, this person is right, that person is wrong? Yes, we celebrate the fact that the enemies, some enemies, is losing strength, popularity, and credibility. That we celebrate, right? He's also an enemy to Islam, enemy to the Muslim, and he's being smashed down. So we're celebrating him being smashed down. Right? Very good. But simultaneously, understand that this enemy is no less. If he's exterminating, then he's exterminating as well. If one person cut off your right hand, the other person cut off your right leg. So now, can you be happy with anybody? Both are letting you down. This one is letting you down, that person is letting you down. If he helped Bashar Assad to exterminate 580,000 in Sham, right, there's no remorse. But the Western media, nobody spoke about it. Right? It was just divine help that saw these people right. Right? Then he wiped out 100,000 in Yemen, right? Supported by the Houthis, right? 100,000. Few years and wiped out. And nobody blinks an eye. Nobody talks about Sham. Nobody talks about Yemen. Because they're too poor, they don't have any wealth. So we don't talk about it. Forgotten. All forgotten. So all the focus is just on one. Can you see that? So what's our mind like now? We want to see what is current. We don't want to see the person before, what happened, what's his track record. We don't want to see that. This was current, we want to see that. And now as though now that person is a savior of Islam. Allah Pak says, كَيْفَ وَإِنْ يَزْهَرُوا عَلَيْكُمْ لَا يَرْقُبُوا فِيكُمْ إِلَّا وَلَا ذِمَّةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُعْتَدُونَ. We saw just now how they wiped you out, right? Now, temporarily, they are fighting your enemy, right? For the moment, they are smashing him down, right? But if these people have the upper hand over you, then what will happen? لَا يَرْقُبُوا فِيكُمْ إِلَّا وَلَا ذِمَّةٌ. They're not concerned about families, and they're not concerned about contracts and pledges. Not concerned at all. So you see that? So both are evil. This is evil, that is evil. Right? In fact, the one evil is even worse. See, they talk about, in Tasawwuf, they talk of hijab ruhani, right? And hijab zulmani. There's two veils that a person comes across, right? Two veils. One veil comes with a glitter and a glamour. It's a veil. It's an obstruction. But there's a lot of light in it, right? It looks very glamorous. So when it looks glamorous, you're going towards it, right? You're going towards the glitter and the glamour. But really, effectively, it's an obstruction. Now you don't realize it's an obstruction. You look at the glitter and the glamour, and you're going in that direction. Like how that young fish is going for the bait, is looking at the glitter and the glamour, so sweet, so enjoyable, so tasty. The old one is saying, please, bye. We went through this, so many of our friends we saw, we warned them, but they didn't hear. And then, what was the end? They pulled out, they suffocated until they died, and they were chopped up, the scales were torn apart. Then they were put into the fire of extreme heat, right? Then they were munched down by 32 razor blades. So this one is saying, well, you're talking about all grandfather stories. And he says, now seeing is believing. What is current? But look at that. Forget the past now. Let's look at current. Before you get wiped out by the current, open your eyes. Open your eyes. Na iska tikana hai, na iska bharosa hai, na iska bharosa hai. You can't trust this one, you can't trust that one. Both are all. The only religion that endorses zina, just change the word of zina to muta, there's no religion in the world that endorses zina besides this religion. Nobody. Idris Kandalvi is Tafsir. He's an authority on comparative religion, right? He says, absolutely no difference. In fact, that zina, according to the Muta, is such a virtuous thing. If one time you do it, then you already escalated to the maqam of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu anhu. Twice then Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu. Thrice then Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. But now, look at the other side of the coin. It's such a, it's based on something so hollow, right? If that was the case, right, then these people would have advertised, you know, I got the maqam of Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. I done it thrice. So does anybody advertise it? So in their sight also it's such an embarrassing thing, they don't talk about it. They know it's embarrassing. If there is a muta contract, right, a wedding is such a happy occasion, you're having walima, dawat, and what are you doing, right? Now, do they ever have a dawat? Hey, today is my muta today. Getting her Ali's maqam. Do they ever say, you know, my daughter, hey, she's going to get such a maqam. Do you ever advertise it? So, this is the only religion in the world that advocates and encourages zina, fornication. It's the only religion in the world that it's an act of virtue to run down, to disgrace the most illustrious people, the Sahaba Kiram, about which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you hate them, you hate me. So where's the iman then? It's the only religion that talks about it. No other religion. So the religion is about running down Tabarra, it's about running down the Sahaba Kiram and the Khulafa Rashideen and going against the open text of the Quran, making false allegations against the integrity of her Aisha Ummul Mu'minin. If someone said to you, your mother is a loose woman, it's a forgivable sin. Now they're making this type of statements against her Aisha, you know, and you see now they're doing a good piece of work, at least acknowledge the good work. Yes, they're smashing the enemy, that's a good thing. But doesn't mean it wipes out all the wrong. Because you can't rely on them. They finished up with them, what will be the next move? What will be the next move? We don't know. This is an enemy, right? We recognize him, we see him. Right? He is jumping on three pillars. On the pillar of the dollar, on the, see, because he's got that recognition, right? Then if he talks about the virus, then every person will talk. Whether they're specialists, whatever. Everybody would talk about the virus, right? He's talking of LG, so the whole world would talk about it. So he's got such an influence, right? The dollar to the LG to the virus, right? He says, close the masjid, dua, close the masjid. Why? He's a superman, right? Superpower. But of all these people here that started all this here, right? Say, for example, all these super scientists were in Malawi and they spoke about virus, they spoke about algae, etc. But the world listened to them. So we have enslaved our minds to these people here. And they are now, they got that recognition because of the might of the dollar. If that might of the dollar is gone, they finished. Do they have anything after that? Anything to rest again? So he's an enemy, both. But I say this is hijab Zulmani, and one is hijab Nurani. This is an obstruction, a light. This is an obstruction that is glamorous. Because the name of Islam is being used. So it's glitter and glamour. The name of Islam is being used, and it's glitter and glamour. It's attracting everybody. And this you can see, it's kufr, you can know, you know it, right? It's wrong. Right? Unfortunately, not all Muslims are carried away by this glitter as well. By the wrong also they carried away. Right? So this is the second pillar that they stand upon. The third pillar they stand upon is taqiyya, right? And taqiyya, easy understanding is a holy hypocrisy. To speak a lie in the most opportune time. Whenever you need to speak a lie, you must speak a lie. You can hide yourself against a lie. So But Ali radiallahu anhu became a Khalifa, and they say that he usurped the right. The Khulafa'i Rashidin usurped Ali's right, right? But Ali radiallahu anhu practiced taqiyah for all his life. So he never said, you know, this people usurped my right, I was supposed to be the Khalifa. All the time. The concoction they bring about, that the whole wahi was hijacked. The whole wahi, all the 23 years, and the whole wahi was hijacked. Allah Ta'ala was seeing everything and allowed everything to happen. So the whole religion is really, really upside down. Completely upside down. Right? As we stand, in the main cities, in their main cities, you can't put up one masjid, one madrasa. Can't put up. No. The Muslim, the Sunni is acting a little bit off. They chopped him, threw him into the dustbin. Up till now, he's in practice. So all these things are being lit, and just one part, the standing up for the Muslims, the smashing down America, that side is being watched and read and spoken about. So I ask you, is that fair? Is that justice? Yes, he helped the Muslim, we acknowledge that. And it wasn't for the helping the Muslim, that was not the objective. The objective was his integrity. His leader, his Pope was killed. So now, to save the integrity and save the name. So, it wasn't for the sake of Islam. It wasn't for the sake of your blood. Otherwise, how did he allow 580,000 people to be killed? Not only allowed, but he encouraged, supported it fully. So it's not for Islam. So all he's done only to save his integrity. So you can't support this one, you can't support that one. Yes, if there's any good that he's done, right, in the process, we will acknowledge that good. But we won't forget the atrocity, the wrong that is being perpetrated. But now, in all this confusion, then what is a Muslim supposed to be doing? The whole jumble sale, yeah? And all this jumble sale, what are we supposed to be doing? That's the question. So many of these situations that we see, it had already played out in India. But we don't have a time to look at history, authentic, reliable history, right? So our seniors were questioned about this thing here, and what do we do? Both are malicious, both have got evil agendas, both are wrong, right? This one is wrong, that is wrong, that is also wrong. But now what do we do? So, one of our most senior persons, Imam Thami Sahib, says, "Jab ke do muziyon mein ho, khatpat, apni hifazat ka saman karo, jhatpat." Both are troublesome, right? Both are troublesome, both are mischief makers, both are corrupt. Right? When there's corruption on both sides, and these both corrupt people, they are busting it up, they're having it out. What are you supposed to be doing? Both are corrupt, and both are busting it up. Now, in this whole bust up, what are you supposed to be doing? So he says, apni hifad ka saman karo, jatpat. Now, you look after yourself. So, it's one of three scenarios, right? One scenario, look at it. The lions against a pack of wolves. They are busting it up, right? So one is to say, we'll go on the side of the lion. So when we smash those wolves, then the lion will recognize our khidmat, what we did. So they will look at us with compassion. Why? Because we sided them in smashing down the wolves. And if we side with the wolves, then the wolves may recognize what we have done, and they may in turn sympathize with us, cooperate with us, and help us because of what we have done. So that's the second possibility. But the third possibility is, the lion may say, I'm finished with this one here, I'm coming for you now. Now what are you going to do? All possibilities, right? So what I'm saying is, all speculation that's going on, but we're not thinking positively, we're not thinking in the lines of our elders. Our minds are like what? The minds are like the July handicap, you know? The Jura handicap, what happens? You're not worried about a particular horse. No, no. You may know, you may think, now how I know about it, right? So I was about 8-9 years of age. So we had one person working for us. Now, he used to listen to the handicap. I was not interested in the handicap, but I used to get excited how fast that commentator was. It was faster than the Hafiz Abdi Kudur at Tarawih time. Hey, sending it. You know, without exaggeration, I think in 1 minute he might be saying about 50, 70 words. Always, the way he's sending it, I don't know how he does it, but he was doing it. But our minds are in a Zula handicap. So what our minds are going towards, who is winning, right? And we want to support the winner. That's where the mind is going. You see that? Our mind is going on the winner. Just 10, 11 months ago, right, when there was a war, Iran and whoever else, right? And all of us were speaking against the Shias. Remember that? Every member was running them down. And now he's supporting them. Now the audience, they are mixed up. When I was speaking out against them 10, 11 months ago, now he's already speaking for them. So what's right, what's wrong? They can't make out what's right, what's wrong. Because you don't have any type of a mawqif. You don't have a platform. You change your platform here, you move it on to this side. From here, that side. Just now you were against, now you're for them. So, what's your belief? Where's your commitment? Who's your commitment to? Who you made your commitment to? So he says, apni hifaz ka saman karo zakat. When you're seeing this scanning on, now you look after your iman, you look after your wealth and your property. Whoever you can look after, you look after. Because you can't trust this one, you can't trust that one. They got their own agendas. And they're saying it themselves. They're saying it themselves. What is religion? Religion is politics. And politics, what is politics? Today's politics is deception. Almost, you know, there's a trouble somewhere. Hey, there's politics here. Don't they see that? So politics is deception. We all know about it. So they're saying it, the imams are saying it, religion is politics. So politics means whatever maneuver we need to make just to get the upper hand, must make that maneuver. Whatever it takes us. So now this is the advice now. Now, the second thing is, what is the advice of the Quran Sharif? What does the Quran Sharif say us in the circumstance, right? And number two is, what is withholding the help of Allah Ta'ala? On the night of Badr, Sahaba just 300. On the opposite end is 1,000, fully equipped to the teeth. Yeah, they only got 8 swords, and they got stones and sticks. Can you imagine 8 swords against an army that is formidable, an army that is fully fledged army, right? Fully armed. 8 swords they got. Right. Not prepared for this type of an encounter. But what was the position? Istastaghisuna rabbakum. That night, Nabi Sallam cried to Allah Ta'ala. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ And the du'as were answered. You were so weak. وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرِ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّ He supported you when you were ill-equipped. But now, why is that help of Allah Ta'ala not descending? There must be a problem, right? A stove is meant to heat, right? But it's not heating. So you can smash that thing. Say, swear that thing and shout that thing, is going to work. Not going to work. So now we're not looking what is the cause of this dua not coming up, not going up. Nobody's looking. Yes, what we glued to and what we gave our commitment to is the news. But the commitment to dua, have we given that commitment to dua? The Masjid al-Aqsa, for over 3 weeks now, is closed down. No access to any Muslim. No access. Are we crying for that? And if you are crying, then why aren't the du'as ascending? Why aren't they going up? There must be a reason. Allah is saying, قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ وَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ Ask me and I will see to you. I will answer your du'as. That's a promise, right? You ask of me and I will see to you. إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When they ask you about me, I am very close. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Then Allah is saying, trust me, but listen to me as well. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. Trust me, right? But listen to me as well. You want things to work out, trust me and also listen to me. Not just trust in me and not listen. And not just listen and not trust. Trust me and listen to me. Now the question is, why are the du'as ascending? Okay. So I thought about it, you know. There's two reasons that have come to my mind. There may be more other, maybe other reasons. The one reason is, لَتَأْمُرُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَتَنْهَوُنَّ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You encourage the right and forbid the wrong. Otherwise you will make dua and your duas are going to be all rejected. So I ask you, according to your capacity, yeah, according to your capacity, are you encouraging the right? Are you stopping the wrong? Are you doing it? In fact, now the average parent is encouraging the wrong. I am telling you this here, I am not speculating, I am talking of facts. You get women, men complaining, my child is 11, 12 years of age and he is glued to porn. He is glued to videos. Right? Now what must I do? So some women, I shout them. On the phone, I shout them. Some men also, I shout. I said, if your child is not going to school, will you ask for some help or something, or you're going to shout the child and you take out the veil and whack him, send him to school? What are you going to do? But conveniently, you say, no, that's his choice. He wants to see the thing, let him see it. That's your convenience. But the school is an obligation. There you don't entertain any excuse. He must attend. See that? The priority is all mixed up. The school he must attend. But his values, his iman may be risky, it's alright. But that education, that perka masla, you know, just to have a financial security, means just have a good stomach, you know. For that, you are making any type of sacrifice. Crossing the line, going within the line, or crossing the line, you are prepared to do it. See the mind, how it's turned. So Allah Pak is saying, you better do this, and if you don't, even the pious amongst you will make dua, but the duas will all get rejected. So every person, according to his jurisdiction, according to his position, according to his influence, he must enjoin the good, forbid the wrong. Obviously, some things within your jurisdiction, within your influence, within your capacity, are you doing it in your house, amongst your friends, amongst your brothers, amongst the people that come under your influence, your workers, are you doing it? There are foreigners working for you, Malawis, etc. So are you particular about them performing namaz? Are you doing it? No, my work must be done. I'll send it for Jummah. So the other namaz is, if he does something wrong in the work, then you're ready to shout him and sway him, right? But if he neglects the namaz, you know, what can you know? His iman is weak. But for the work, his iman is very strong. The money counts. So do you get disturbed? But that person is not performing namaz, are you getting disturbed? His wife is not observing proper parda, are you getting disturbed about it? No, my job must be done. That's the primary thing. Namaz is between him and Allah Ta'ala. So what's between him and Allah Ta'ala, you're not concerned. Between you and him, that must be done. You see, money grows on the trees. Allah's favors are coming to you. Did you ever thought about it? You ever think about it? وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا. He has poured his favors in exceeding measure, both visible and not visible. So do you think about it? So this is one area that we need to work on. Can't do too much, then please do the jamaat work rightly. Do it, and do it rightly. Mawla Ilyas Sahib style, Mawla Yusuf Rahmatullahi, and Inamur Hasan Sahib style. That right way, the original way, that covers up a lot of Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi al Munkar. You have to encourage it. That is, if you've got a genuine concern for the Muslim. Otherwise, your concern is just lip service, just excitement, satisfy your mental curiosity. Now, who's catching it and who's getting splashed down? That's your deen. Your deen is not how to fix it up. The car got punctured, got an engine problem. Yeah, you're commenting, this problem here, that problem. Why? Fix the car. When you go to Cape Town, fix it up. You just talk about it, so baaton se baat chalta hai. Kaam se kaam hota hai. You want to do something, then do something. Otherwise, it's just hot air you're blowing. Not doing anything for the ummah. So do look something constructive for the benefit of the ummah. I say, in an international level, on a national level, this is the work, this is the solution. But I can't find a work that's at this level, but provided it is done on the original tarteeb, Ilyas Sahib, Mansoor Rahmatullah Alayhi, Inamul Hasan Sahib, right? And the right tarteeb must go on. Because you want to attract the assistance of Allah Ta'ala, then your whole approach must be right. You can't use the wrong approach to get the right results, can you? You want it in reverse and you go forward. Wrong approach is wrong, but you want to go away forward. How is it happening? Kisra Yoga, making dua. You turning in reverse gear, and you got someone at the Kaaba Shri make dua, someone in Jamaat make dua, someone here, your mother has to make dua. It's going to work. The approach must be right, support with the dua. So that work must be right, that original tarteeb. That is, you've got a genuine concern for deen then. Don't have a concern, then you can carry on blowing hot air, and kuch nahi hoga, kiamat mein kuch nahi hoga. And each person, according to his jurisdiction, his power, his authority, his, what he can do, he's got his workers, right? They are they performing namaz? Are their wives and children attending madrasa? Are they learning the faras? Do you have a genuine concern as you have a concern for your work? So your work is more important than Allah Pak's work. That's the brain of the normal Muslim. And then you want to attract assistance of Allah Ta'ala. So where your brains are. That's one thing, right? And the second thing that prevents the dua acceptance, right? What is the second thing? The second thing is haram and halal. You're not concerned about it, right? So, anna yustajabu lahu. That he says it. Ma'akulu haram. So, be concerned about halal haram. Your eyes, your tongue, right? Your ears. Be concerned about the halal and the haram. And if you're not concerned, then how are your dua going to get accepted? How is it going to get accepted? So, the work that you're supposed to be doing, amar bil ma'ruf, nahi al munkar, and number two, ensure that you are on halal. Not forcing it to be halal. What is now? You try and make it halal. No. See that you're doing halal. And to the best of your ability, where you can encourage it, encourage it as well. If the fire is burning outside, you won't say, no, it's not burning my house. If it's a attached hut, right, and it's, the fire is next door, you say, it's burning, that's it's alright. No. Be concerned about it. So to the best of your ability, halal and haram. Eyes, especially your tongue, right? So what's going in will come out. If halal is going in, halal will come out. Haram is going out, going in, haram will come out. And now you want that dua to get accepted. How are you going to get accepted? And now you say, how are you going to? That is saying, how can that dua ever be accepted? See, the people of Aad complained about the drought, right? Animals are dying, crops are drying, and they're starving. Right. And Allah Ta'ala gave them two pieces of advice. You're starving, and two pieces of advice Allah gave in Surah Hud. Istaghfiru Rabbakum, thumma tubu ilayh. Sincerely beg Allah's forgiveness. Right. Sincerely beg Allah's forgiveness, thumma tubu ilayh, and become straight. Tubu. Simple meaning, go straight. You're going wrong now, see. You're supposed to be going this way, you're going in the opposite direction now. Now come right. Ask Allah's forgiveness and go right. Right. On Allah's side, what is the promise? Your city sama alaikum mizrara, you're worried now, stockpile, whatever you're worried about, right? So on Allah's side, His promise is, He'll give you abundance. He pour the things for you. But you do what you're supposed to be doing. What he's telling you, the maker of man, he's telling you. What we are doing is speculating. The maker of man, what is he saying? That's the original. Everything else, the makeup, is a speculation. It's a guesswork. It can happen, it may not happen. But what Allah Pak says, can there be any doubt in that? So this has to be encouraged everywhere. In our talks, in our private sittings, in our braais. Everywhere this thing has to be encouraged. We're seeing these events, what's happening, getting ghabrat, and that's a discussion. What's the latest now? How many bombs fell here? And what missiles when as we celebrate. And that's the end of our deen. So is that a Muslim? No. Your siris sama alaikum mitrara. The second thing you're worried about, you don't have that military might. So Allah says, وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ. He will grant you that might and that strength. So one is you're worried about your financials, right? Financials you're worried about, Allah will sort that out. And you're worried about your military might, Allah says, I'll sort that out also. وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ. So that's a divine prescription for the disaster and the catastrophe that you're going through. But you will leave this thing out, and just carry on listening to the news and commenting on this, on that. Baaton se baatein phailegi. You talk about it, and the talk will just carry on perpetrating, one person to the second person, third person to the fourth person, and you hooked onto it, I will see. What's the breaking news now? What's the breaking news? Usse kaam banega. Kitne log sochte ki Allah Taala kya farmate. Hum ye keh rahe, we are saying this, but what is the divine instruction? Because there isn't a situation for which there isn't a divine solution. There isn't a situation for which there is a divine, there is not a divine solution. So are we looking for the divine solution? So he'll help you out financially, he'll help you out military might, he'll help you out. But are we doing that? Or are we supposed to be, are we doing it? So these are two things of matters of concern. What are we supposed to be doing under the circumstances? Our iman is in Allah Ta'ala. And I repeatedly say, think about that night of Badr, and think, Allah Pak himself said, لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي بَدْرِيُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ أَذِلَّ. Very weakly equipped, very weak, and we supported you, and you were just moving them down. You're moving them down. 70 of the leaders you have killed, and 70 leaders you have taken as captives. So وَلَقَدْ نَصَرُ اللَّهُ. So Allah says, for the future also fear Allah Ta'ala. You fear Allah Ta'ala and you conform, then you will see the success. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. You'll be grateful. But now you will leave all these things there and go on speculation on what he said, Zayd said, and Amr said, and whatever, whoever said. And you left Allah Ta'ala, you left the Quran Sharif. I said, what a disregard for the Quran. How unfair to the Quran Sharif. Allah is showing you the procedures to attract the divine assistance. But are we following the procedure? So no, that person not doing it. I'm waiting for him. Why? You do what you can do. Allah, look at Allah Pak's help, right? You look in the stories of Nuh alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam, right? So when people did this, right, then Allah Pak says, فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَمَنْ مَعَهُ فِي الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْهُونِ. Didn't Allah Pak say? If you all did the work, so we'll save you. In spite of the fact that you are a minority, the whole world is covered in kufr, there's only 80 people. Ma amana ma'ahu illa qali. And we saved them. How we saved them? Allah Pak knows how he saved them. They did the work, Allah Pak took care of them. Whole world is covered in kufr. These people are doing the work. Amr bil ma'ruf, nahi al munkar, halal haram. So Allah Pak saved them. See that. فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَمَمَّعَهُ فِي الْفُلْ مَشْهُونَ. That story. So look at the Lut alayhi salam. فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ أَجْمَعِينَ لِلَّا عَجُوزًا فِي الْغَابِرِينَ ثُمَّ دَمَّرْنَا الْآخَرِينَ. Allah Pak says straight. فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ أَهْلَهُ أَجْمَعِينَ. All those that listened to Lut alayhi salam, we saved them. Even his own family refused to listen. Right? She also got jammed up. illa ajuzan fil ghabirin. She's a dear wife, but she don't want to listen. She's not conforming. So you also thrown out. But those that conform, amar bil ma'ruf, nahi al munkar, halal haram, they are the iman right. So Allah Ta'ala save this one, yeah, save that one. So aren't these things striking evidence, right, that this is how you secure the help of Allah Ta'ala, and this is how you will lose the help of Allah Ta'ala. This is how you attract Allah's attention, and this is how you will lose. So I spoke of several things today, right? Although I started off on a different note, right? On Surah Wadduha, and I went on to jealousy, etc., right? And the problems that come up with this thing, right? And then the Ummah's crisis today, what is, how you look at it, and what is the divine solution? Allah grant us all tawfiq.